the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So good morning, everybody. Very warm welcome to you all on this Sunday next before Lent. Whether you're here or whether you're at home, it's a joy to all be together. Of course, Lent begins next Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday. We prepare for it on Tuesday with a party, lovely way to prepare. Pancake party, I'm not sure it's 5, 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock, somebody wave at me. 6 o'clock, I think, yes, thank you. 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening in the hall, or in the community centre, might beg my pardon. And then on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, two services, one at 10 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock, I think, both here in church, and you would be very welcome to join us then.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. God, our Father, long-suffering, full of grace and truth, you create us from nothing and give us life. You give your faithful people new life in the water of baptism. You do not turn your face from us, nor cast us aside. We confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbour. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. Restore us for the sake of your Son and bring us to heavenly joy. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray, in the hearts of all the true love of peace, and guide with your pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your kingdom may go forward, till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Reading from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, and that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter did not know what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and the disciples kept silent, and in those days told no one of the things they had seen. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord
I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Many of us will remember being told to eat up our greens. Eat your cabbage, dear. It's good for you. Throughout our lives, we are bombarded with advice that's good for us. Exercise is good for you. And even famously, Guinness is good for you. Sometimes, though, the word good hardly seems appropriate. If we hate spinach or Brussels sprouts, being told that they are good for us seems a contradiction in terms. But we accept the advice that they are beneficial to our health and strength in the same way as regular exercise is good for us, even if we don't like it, or as the occasional glass of stout can do us good, despite the taste. My mother used to tell the tale of the generosity of her mother-in-law in buying her a glass of stout to drink each evening because it would be good for her when she was breastfeeding my brother. After an initial try, it was my father who drank the stout, and I'm sure that it did him good. We do, however, every now and then find something we actually do like that's good for us. I find the advice to eat lots of fruit much easier to swallow than the need to eat greens. In today's gospel reading, Peter announces, "Master, it is good for us to be here." Of course, Peter was saying that it felt good being there as Jesus was revealed in glory, his face transfigured. It felt good watching Jesus shining, outshining even Moses and Elijah, helping to identify him as the Messiah. It felt so good that Peter didn't want it to finish, and he offered to build three dwellings so that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah could stay there and he could go on watching them. It's quite interesting, having recorded the speech of Peter's, Luke immediately writes, "Peter did not know what he said." The evangelist is referring to Peter's rather naive suggestion about the dwellings, to the exuberant disciples' excitement, which made him hardly able to think straight. Yet the appearance of those two statements, so close to one another, is quite intriguing. It's good for us to be here, and Peter didn't know what he said. Because it certainly was good for Peter and John and James to witness that transfiguration of Jesus. It was good for them. It was beneficial. It was strengthening. And Peter could hardly have known just how good it was. So he really didn't know what he was saying. He couldn't possibly have foreseen the significance that those moments on the mountain would have for the rest of his life. Peter had seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And even though he was to deny Jesus, that memory would remain with him forever and would strengthen him for his future ministry and even for his martyrdom. Like his meeting with the resurrected Jesus, this moment of revelation on the mountaintop would be good for Peter, as no doubt it was good for Jesus too. Beneficial, strengthening, to have the reassurance of his Father's voice from heaven at a time that was drawing near to his departure and what he was to accomplish in Jerusalem. Because from this moment, Jesus sets his face towards the cross. Peter wanted to stay in the presence of the transfigured Jesus. It felt so good that he didn't want it to end. Sometimes in our worship, we feel especially close to the Lord. I wish that we could just stay there forever. Yet Jesus brought his disciples back down from the mountain and immediately got on with his mission of healing and teaching as he made his way towards Jerusalem and his final act of love. What had happened on the mountain was good for him and good for Peter and John and James, as it gave strength. A strength that was needed to fulfill God's purpose. In the same way, our worship is good for us. We may not always feel that closeness to Jesus, but it is all the more wonderful when we do. And the more often that we come into God's presence, in private prayer, in public worship, the greater the chance of glimpsing his glory. The more we come in anticipation of feeling that closeness, witnessing that glory, the greater our chances of catching a glimpse. As we come together to worship God in the name of his Son, his chosen, may we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As we gather around his table today, remembering his life laid down for us that we might live, it is good for us to be here. It feels good knowing how much we are loved. And it does us good, sending us out into the world, strengthened to do God's will and reflect his glory. It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. Amen.
Let us declare our faith in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let us sit or kneel to pray. Interspersed throughout these prayers are the words of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who died recently. We are made for goodness. We are made for love. We are made for friendliness. We are made for togetherness. We are made for all the beautiful things that you and I know. We are made to tell the world that there are no outsiders. We all belong to this family, this human family, God's family. In the worldwide community of faith, we remember the Ukrainian Orthodox Church and the Anglican community in Ukraine, who worship at St. Catherine's German Lutheran Church in Kiev. We remember we pray for the congregation who worship at St. Mary Protectress, Ukrainian Orthodox Church in Bradford, who will have family and friends affected by the current conflict. Today, in the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Church of Kenya and for the current primate and Archbishop Jackson Ole Sapit, and we give thanks for the vibrant Christian community there. In this diocese, we again give thanks for the contribution of the retired clergy and those with permission to officiate for their invaluable support they give to parishes. We remember with fondness and deep gratitude the work of Canon David Grice in this church and in other churches in Leeds. And we ask for your blessing on his funeral service on Tuesday, remembering as we do Cynthia and all the family. In this church, we ask for your blessing on our welcomers. We ask that all will find a warm welcome in this place. And as we approach Lent, we remember again our bishop's words, that Jesus should be at the heart of our rhythms of life. Guide and strengthen us as we make our commitments this Lent, and open our eyes to the opportunities around us to serve you and to grow in your blessings. Lord, in thy mercy. If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. In our world, we pray for the people of Ukraine, echoing the words of the Archbishop of Canterbury. To wake up to the news of war is terrible. To wake up to its reality is orders of magnitude worse. Right at the end of his life, Jesus Christ, on the eve of his crucifixion, spoke to his disciples and said something very memorable. In the world you have trouble, but do not be afraid. I have overcome the world. The great certainty in the world, the only certainty, is that we know that God does not change. Let us find our resolution, our peace, our certainty, not by screwing up our courage, but in the knowledge of the eternal arms that hold us. May God be with those in Ukraine who suffer today. We ask that our world leaders adopt peace as their default position, not conflict. Lord, in thy mercy. We were made to enjoy music, to enjoy beautiful sunsets, to enjoy looking at the billows of the sea, and to be thrilled with a rose that is bedecked with dew. Human beings are actually created for the transcendent, for the sublime, for the beautiful, for the truthful. And all of us are given the task of trying to make this world a little more hospitable to these beautiful things. We pray for the work of the Woodland Trust in planting, protecting, and restoring our woods and trees. We give thanks that we can enjoy so close to us woodland and other wonderful spaces where nature flourishes. We pray and give thanks for the rangers and staff of the RSPB at St Aidan's and Fairbannings. We ask for your help to be a good neighbour, to do a little bit of good wherever we are, because it's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. And we particularly pray for the residents of Templestowe Hill. Lord, in thy mercy. Transformation begins in you wherever you are, whatever has happened, however you are suffering. Transformation is always possible. We do not heal in isolation. When we reach out and connect with one another, our suffering begins to transform. Today we will all be remembering friends, relatives and neighbours who need our prayers. In a moment of silence, we offer up our prayers for them. To those people, we add those who have asked for our prayers. Pat Hyde, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Alan Cross, Christine Oates, Jeff Blowers, Sharon Clark, Beryl Laverick, Shane Simpson. And we pray also for those in long-term care and those that care for them. Mary Metcalf, Doreen Hoare, Margaret Burton, George Brown, Jennifer Mode, and Mavis Crossed. In the end, what matters is not how good we are, but how good God is. Not how much we love him, but how much he loves us. And God loves us, whoever we are, whatever we've done or failed to do, whatever we believe or can't. Lord, in your mercy. Yeah. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. We remember those who have recently died, David Grice and Anne Lee. We remember those whose anniversary of death occurs this week, Jack Archer, Jesse Rutherford, Peter Bickerdike. And we give thanks for all those in this church who care for and minister to those that have been bereaved. Bringing all my burdens, sorrow, sin, and care, at thy feet I lay them, and I leave them there. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Rejoicing in the fellowship of St. Mary and all your saints, we commend ourselves and all Christian people to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. Peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to set before you, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the bread of life.
Blessed be God forever.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this wine to set before you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become for us the cup of salvation.
Blessed be God forever.
The Lord is here.
The Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning you have created all things, and all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You gave us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and all the powers of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praise. Wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them you raised up Jesus, our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners. And with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms for us on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Great is the mystery of faith.
Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation, that they may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us in the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her in peace. That in communion with Stephen, our Archbishop, and Nick, our Bishop, we may be faithful to our calling as your people. Bring us at the last with Blessed Mary and all the saints, to the vision of that eternal splendour for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Let us pray with confidence, as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Holy God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. May we who are partakers at his table reflect his life in word and deed, that all the world may know his power to change and save. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, for he is alive and reigns now and forever.
Amen.
You have opened to us the scriptures, O Christ, and you have made yourself known in the breaking of the bread. Abide with us, we pray, that blessed by your royal presence, we may walk with you all the days of our life, and at its end behold you in the glory of the eternal Trinity, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love, and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Oh, sorry.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.